Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got a busy one today. What's happening? Tinky and Tierney ready to roll. Let's go. Coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Rocket Mortgage giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free. Just go to RocketMortgageSquares.com. So today's one of those days where refresh. Today could be a very, very memorable news day from all sorts of angles. The James Harden stuff, which we'll get to coming up next segment. Absolute lunacy what happened last night with that post-game press conference. So the Rockets are highly motivated to deal him. The Celtics and the Raptors have communicated, but it seems to be a two-team race. Philly and the Brooklyn Nets, the Rockets didn't let him practice. He's never playing again for the Rockets. It's just a matter of when they get the deal done. Mm-hmm. It could happen today. You've got the – I actually think that that's going to probably happen during the show. The other stuff that could happen, Urban Meyer, I know the Chargers are starting to maybe emerge from the weeds here, but that seems to be, based on who you believe in terms of reporting, maybe close, very close with the Jaguars and Rob Saleh possibly with the Jets, although we just learned the Jets moronically let him leave the building without a contract offer, which bothers me. But we got a lot to do today, TK. How you doing today, pal? You good?
Yeah, all is good, man. There's a lot happening non-playoff-wise because the games are still 3 days away in the NFL because teams are looking for their next leaders. They're the stars that are, at least the coaches are going to coach their stars, hopefully, you know, further into better days ahead for some of these teams, including the Jets and the Texans as well, who have a bigger issue other than who's going to coach their team, BT.
That is true, Teak. It is very hard to, even if it's momentarily, swipe the mantle from the Nets as the most dysfunctional franchise in sports right now. And you know, it kind of goes back and forth depending upon what videos emerge with Kyrie. Yesterday was a bad day for the Nets, obviously. It's been a bad week for the Nets, and it's been a bad week or so for the Texans. Deshaun Watson, we know that he's not thrilled, but now at all. But now we've got former Texans jumping in, whether it's Arian Foster, Andre Johnson chimed in on Twitter. And you've got a situation now here, Tiki, where, I mean, it is very hard, even in trying to give the Houston Texans the benefit of the doubt, it is very hard to do that going back to some of Bill O'Brien's perplexing moves. They hired a firm to help guide them in the GM hiring process. They completely ignored their advice, and they made an abrupt U-turn. They're prerogative for sure, but why would you shell out that kind of loot for somebody to kind of direct you where to go and you don't listen to the advice? And now all of a sudden you've got, you know, players stepping out and just eviscerating the franchise. We learned, and rightfully so, we learned yesterday that now they have reached out to Eric Bieniemy, but they can't talk to Eric Bieniemy because they didn't reach out to Eric Bieniemy early enough when the Chiefs were on the first round bye. The Texans are a mess.
Yeah, it's organizational chaos is what it sounds like. And it also, I mean, I heard this described as a Game of Thrones type situation happening with Easterby, who is the vice president of football operations, basically claiming all the power and saying, yeah, I know that firm said we should hire Lewis Riddick or whoever the other GM candidate was. I forget who it was now at this point. Doesn't matter. And we're going to go with Caserio because he's my guy from the New England Patriots. And I think what the Houston Texans, unfortunately, are stuck in, they're stuck in wanting to They're stuck. They're wannabes. Right? They want to be the New England Patriots.
Or the Cowboys.
Or the Cowboys. But
in the same state.
But more importantly, the New England Patriots, because they're bringing everybody from the New England Patriots, including their former head coach.
Not a bad idea, by the way, for the most part, outside of O'Brien.
I know, but it's not. It's different, man. Just because it worked in New England doesn't mean it's going to work somewhere else.
I agree.
I honestly believe that different programs and football teams, the organizational structure is just different, right? McNair is not Robert Kraft, you know what I mean? And the head coach, whoever it will be now, is not going to be Bill Belichick. As good as Deshaun Watson is, he's not Tom Brady. Like, the circumstances will never be identical. Mm-hmm. And so to think now that you are going to replicate what they did because you're bringing their people is, I think it's foolish. I think that there's too much of a copycat mentality down in Houston. And that's what I think Deshaun Watson was talking about when he says some things never change. Mm-hmm. You get enamored with a team that was winning, that has been winning for two decades, and you say, we're going to do that. And if we do that, we're going to win. And the reality is you got to forge your own path. You can take bits and pieces of it, but you can't try to copy it with the same people. I mean, come on. It just doesn't make any sense.
There's not much of an identity down there in Houston with the Texans. There's just not. No. They don't know who they are. I would say they don't know who they want to be, but that doesn't make sense, because as Tiki just outlined, they seemingly want to be the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where this goes with Deshaun Watson, whether or not, and you could take who's another prominent ex-Texan. I mean, they haven't been around forever, so you have to really think.
Yeah, I know. It's true. It's hard to think of any, honestly, other than the guys that were there. Andre Johnson, J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
I can't think of another.
There's only a few.
Arian Foster was a good player.
Very good. He actually pretty much aligned himself with what Andre Johnson said. But, at the end of the day, I don't really think that doesn't matter. It doesn't look good.
No.
Certainly doesn't look good. Now, like in the NBA, like think about it. And we'll, not to contrast it necessarily to Harden, but it's an interesting time because we're going to get to that coming up next segment, obviously. That's a uniquely interesting situation for sure. But in the NBA, like when there's dysfunction in the NBA, and think about, the way NBA players have perceived James Dolan's Knicks. That's why everybody has avoided going to the Garden, right? And Leon Rose hopefully changes that. But for years, LeBron not touching it, KD not touching it. We know the deal, right? And I don't necessarily blame him, right? In the NBA, when there's a toxic environment, that is almost impossible to fix unless you get lucky. The NFL, there's very few toxic environments, at least in terms of toxic environments that remain toxic for a while. It's not quite like the NBA.
Yeah.
So I know that this seems very, Texan fans should be, I guess, somewhat despondent. Their star quarterback wants out and they're a mess and they're a joke and the court of public opinion's not treating them right. Unlike the NBA, generally these dark clouds that hover over certain NFL teams, they generally dissipate a lot more quickly than that of the NBA. So that's one thing maybe you could latch on to.
True. And, to your point, we were just trying to think of the reason that we can't think of any greats from the Houston Texans, BT, because they've only been around for a few years and there aren't any. Their ring of honor is two people. Andre Johnson, who we just mentioned, and Bob McNair, who is the owner. That's it. So it's just not that storied of a history down there. But they have a chance, especially with a quarterback as good as Deshaun Watson is, to start establishing some sort of history if they don't mess it up. Now, this isn't the type of situation to go back to your analogy with the NBA, BT, where James Harden can be unhappy and say, look, we're never going to get it done here. We're not going to figure it out. Get me the heck out of here. I don't think that works the same way in the NFL, mainly because you can turn it around really quickly in the NFL.
And also the CBA doesn't really permit that.
Exactly right, BT. That's even more so of a reason.
100%. But that's the reason.
But you also can really flip it quickly if you get the right coach, which they're still determining right now.
Yep.
And then the right group of players, you know, scheme wise, it fit a scheme and they play well together, and there's chemistry and all those, you know, intangibles that we always talk about for successful teams. But it can happen quickly. Whereas in the NBA, if you're moribund, I mean, unless you draft a Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. or you get a Hall of Famer wanting to come play for you, you can be stuck. You can be stuck miring in the doldrums for a decade.
Tell me about it. For sure,
So, or even longer, honestly, if you're talking about the Knicks, yeah. Who are local to us here in New York. I think the NFL, while Deshaun Watson is very upset, I think the NFL gives him, I don't know, a chance to actually let that pass pretty quickly. Whereas in basketball, it hangs around for a long time.
Yeah, and I also think that the Texans have this on their side, and they're kind of lucky that Deshaun Watson is not a very divisive figure.
No.
In terms of confrontation. He seems to be wired more the old school way, kind of do things behind the scenes, mm-hmm. air your grievances privately. This obviously yep. came out, but this came out by design,
yep.
and I don't blame him. You know, I'm thinking about this and thinking about all the openings in the NFL, the seven jobs. The more I try to, and we touched on this yesterday, but trying to identify the perfect candidate for the Texans, and every situation is uniquely different. The Jaguars, you're going to have to get somebody that can, you know, get Trevor Lawrence ready fast. The Jets, what do you do at quarterback and all these picks? And every situation is different, right? The more I think about it, Teague, Marvin Lewis to me is a guy that walks into that building in Houston and can silence the noise quickly and bring respect and stability. Now, some of these coordinators might prove to be higher level coaches, even yeah. though Marvin's good. Some of these guys might be great. Joe Brady could be great. Who knows? Joe Brady could win multiple Super Bowls. He could yeah. be Sean McVay. I don't know.
But not do we Sean's know? Won, do we, but you do know. We know that? Do we know that he is that kind of leader of men? We don't know.
We don't know that. We don't know, and we don't this, know that sort. I was at this situation calls for, you know, unflinching leadership. You know, a yeah. palpable presence, almost of the grandfatherly way. That's kind of seen it all. You know, you think about this. Even at Christmas, you know, I don't even know that it's verbalized here, but I just know, because I know, Lord willing, what I'll do, you know, down the road. You know, I'm sure there's things that happen, little things. My dad sees it, and he says to himself, you know, maybe I would have done this, or I already saw yeah. that, like how maybe some interaction or a situation with me and the kids. And, you know, my dad, who's 77, who's seen it all, he probably chuckles to himself and has great clarity, much like Marvin Lewis, who isn't 77, but brings clarity and presence. And this situation needs clarity and presence soon.
Yeah, I think most of the situations this year, other than probably the Eagles, that one just needs, I don't know, better communication. But the Jets, they need a leader and they need direction. Same mm-hmm. thing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Same thing with the Houston Texans. Detroit as well. Most of them need that. Like, they need someone who'd be a leader, not someone who is a great play caller, or, you know, as this great mind for defensive schemes and can confuse you as a, you know, as an offense. You don't need that guy for most of these openings this year. You need bona fide leaders. And it's why some of the retreads, I think this season in particular, simply because of the jobs that are open, are going to get a weightier look, other than a guy like Rob Saleh, who has such an amazing story. And when you realize where his knowledge and leadership comes from, it's compelling, right? It makes you want to, you know, follow and believe in him. Whereas last year, say for instance, the New York Giants, they needed it, right? They needed it bad. Mm-hmm. They needed leadership in a bad way, and Joe Judge ended up being that guy, and I think he's the perfect guy there. It's always interesting at this point when head coaching jobs are available, and you look at the circumstances and you look at the situations, and you're like, who's going to perfectly fit? At the end of the day, you just need someone who can lead and get people to believe in them, and that's harder to find than I think we want to give it credit to.
Yeah, no, I got you. Well said. Well, what a crazy ride it's been for the city of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Between the baseball cheating scandal, between James Harden's going to get shipped out, whether it's today, tonight, tomorrow, he's book it, gone. And, you know, I mean, Deshaun Watson, who I don't think is dealt – But you're talking about your star, your cornerstone in the NBA, one of the great players, one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, and a team that was revered throughout baseball for drafting and developing and doing it the right way, Altuve and Springer and Correa and all these young guys, but, you know, all these studs, and then all of a sudden just, you know, cheating scandal after cheating scandal, not just the, whether it's the buzzer or the trash can, but, you know, the tackified stuff for the spin rate. Everywhere you look, there was cheating claims from all around baseball levied toward the Astros. What a crazy year.
I know, it
for
has
Houston
been.
Sports.
And that's not even...
Year and a half.
That's not even bringing up the Gerrit Cole stuff, which recently has come out, which is...
No, he's on the Yankees. He doesn't cheat.
Well, now he doesn't because he's on the Yankees, but when he was in Houston, some clubhouse attendants were helping get some grip in the cold weather.
Little grip for the crip. I hear you. And by the way, I heard Stephen A. say this today. I haven't seen it anywhere else, but I heard him say this, that I guess he got a text from somebody that said that the Rams would be amenable to trading Jared Goff and picks to the Texans for Deshaun Watson. Now, the reason why that's interesting, it's interesting.
Well, the Rams are in the playoffs right now. I mean, that's why it's interesting.
Now, nobody's going to sit here and say that Deshaun Watson isn't infinitely better than Jared Goff. He's infinitely better.
No doubt.
Off script, on script, he's just better. But what the Rams could provide to the Texans would be an infusion of draft equity, which the Texans don't have. We forgot. I mean, we mentioned that yesterday, but, you know, as you run down the litany of missteps here with the Texans, you should probably insert that toward the top of the resume. No first or second round pick either.
Yeah.
Although now you got to figure, because the Rams also sent picks to the Jaguars in the Jalen Ramsey trade, so I don't know if it would be immediate. And he didn't clarify, you know, I think he actually got the text during a segment, so he was just kind of processing it quick. But I don't know. I mean, as you hear that quickly on the most rudimentary level, Jared Goff and picks for Deshaun Watson, what do you think?
Sounds implausible. But I
why?
Mean, because they paid Jared Goff. The money swap would be very, very difficult because of the penalties of moving both of those guys independently. You know what I mean? So you move a guy just because when you trade a guy, it's just like cutting him.
Yes.
And so unless you trade him post June, which is kind of, it defeats the purpose in a sense, you're taking a big hit on your cap. So both the Rams and the Texans are going to take big hits on their caps to swap quarterbacks and then other assets as well. It's just impossible. I mean, maybe they figure out a way to do it. You asked me on first blush.
I got you.
It feels implausible.
I got you. I figured I'd throw it at you. All right. Well, James Harden scored his last bucket for the Rockets. When you sit here like I am in front of a microphone and say, we're not good enough. We can't fix it. That's like looking at your spouse saying, honey, it's over. You know, I met with the lawyer. It's time, you know, to sign the papers. I mean, where do you go? I mean, they're way past the counseling stage. So it's over with the Rockets and James Harden. Where's he going? The rumblings that the Sixers are absolutely willing to give a Ben Simmons. I don't like that. Could he wind up on the Nets? We'll get to this saga, and it has been a bad week for the NBA on a lot of levels, so we'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, so James Harden is on the verge of doing what James Harden wanted to do for a while. He is just about to punch his ticket away from the Houston Rockets, out of the Houston Rockets organization. And, you know, where he's going to go, that's obviously what Tiki and I will discuss here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Hope everybody's doing well. Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, inbounds, out of bounds, coming up next segment. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney, all the content. Please subscribe. That would be great. Make sure you click the bell. When the fresh stuff drops, you'll get it right away. You'll get that alert. So anytime we hit a segment, boom, you get it right away. All right, so there within an hour, there were a barrage of tweets. Sham Sharania wrote, this was about an hour and a half ago, the Rockets are sifting through sifting through finalists, the Nets and 76ers, for a deal that could culminate quickly. Brooklyn preparing an offer of all of its future first-round picks and pick swaps. Now, what does that mean? It means, well, the Nets, they own four first-round picks, and they own all three of the pick swaps, so there's no limitations there, meaning they don't have first-round picks that are part of other deals that they couldn't then send to the Rockets. That's number one. the situation with the Sixers, and Mark Stein had, I thought, a very thorough report. You know, I haven't seen, not that he hasn't, I haven't seen Mark break his story in a bit. I know he's good, but this has been a pretty interesting afternoon for Stein, who wrote that Houston's working on, they're zeroing in. They like the Nets deal, but they're really looking more closely at the Ben Simmons deal with Philly. That would include Tyrese Maxey, who went bonkers the other game. We know him from Kentucky, of course. And, you know, listen, on the periphery, you have the Celtics and the Raptors. There's been discussions, but it's a two-team race right now. And eventually it's going to be a no-team race. He will be dealt, and he will be dealt because of this press conference last night. Listen.
Which is not good enough. Obviously, chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games. You know, I love this city. I literally, you know, have done everything that I can, you know. I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah.
All right. He's such not a leader. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. What do you think, T? Go ahead. I want to give you a crack at this.
I think he's frustrated and he's ready to be out, and they're not listening to him. And so he's going, I don't know, extreme rogue here. Mm-hmm. The reason this makes sense for James Harden is because he said, we're not going to win in the Western Conference. We are just not good enough. And he is 100% right.
Can't maybe say that, though.
Maybe he's better. Hold on. But maybe he's better. I'm talking from an outside perspective, looking in at the Houston Rockets. Mm-hmm. They are not nearly as good as some of the other teams in the Western Conference, especially the LA Lakers, who basically toyed with them for the entirety of the game. I mean, you get to the point where LeBron James is just disrespecting you, making bets Dennis Schroeder while he shoots a three-pointer rather than watch it go in. You're up by 20, whatever it was, 20 at that point. I mean, they got toyed with.
He turned his back. He hit a blind three from the corner for those who missed it.
Even Scott Silas, the head coach, said the same thing. They're having fun at our expense. They're toying with them. They have a great team. We don't. And James Harden doesn't want to be a part of it anymore. And, you know, I can't say I don't blame him, because I do blame him, partly because he's not committed to fixing it. But it's been a long time coming in Houston that this was going to expire. And I think no one wanted to acknowledge it, because you have James Harden, and he's a scoring champion.
I acknowledged it, by the way.
I know, but I'm talking about internally. Nobody internally wanted to acknowledge it. They were just kind of, we can figure this out. We're going to try this. We're going to do this. And we're going to go small. We're going to get rid of all of our big men. The tallest guy we're going to have is 6'7". Like, for tallest guy was 6'7 last year, BT. It just doesn't make any damn sense.
No.
Right? But they kept trying and trying and trying, and eventually became untenable. And finally, James Harden said, you know what? This is untenable. Let me out of here.
I'm out. And he went full rogue. You're right. When you look into a camera and say we're not good enough, there is no other recourse, but you have to get dealt. The only thing that you can say when you're that cavalier about it, you know, you can make the point that he's actually weakening the ability of the Rockets to make a deal quickly, because he's compromising any leverage. Listen, we know he's a baller.
Yeah.
Even when he's not in great shape, he's still one of the greatest scorers of all time. I understand that. But, you know, you need to play the game. And while I respect James Harden's desire to move on, I don't respect the way he's actually gone about this. And I'll take it a step further. This has been a really damaging week for the NBA. Mm-hmm. Within the span of 1 week. Now, I know that the Harden stuff certainly predates this, where he showed up overweight and, you know, he said it wasn't a strip joint. He was helping a friend of his, I guess, launch a clothing line, whatever it was, which is great, but there's still NBA COVID protocols which weren't observed, blah, blah, blah. I when you look at Kyrie Irving, all right, and when you look at James Harden, in the span of 1 week, two of the top 10 players in the NBA, one is just seemingly disinterested and disassociated with his profession, mm-hmm, in Kyrie Irving. And the other is so rogue and so cavalier that he tells the entire free world that we suck and I want out. Mm-hmm. And you know who I'm going to blame for this? Who do you think I'm going to blame a little bit for this?
I don't know who.
Take a guess. That you know your partner. Where do you think my brain's going around? Who do you think I'm... Who?
LeBron?
Anthony
Davis?
No.
Because he did the exact same thing.
Think bigger. He did it differently, though. Think bigger.
No
think
idea.
Bigger Go than ahead. AD.
Who? The commissioner?
The commissioner. Adam Silver.
Why?
Because Adam Silver, from day one, while he's done some good things for sure, Adam Silver was a little bit too preoccupied with being buddy-buddy with these players. And at the end of the day, there's got to be a dynamic of power. There's got to be somebody that is running the show. And when a star player seemingly has as big a piece of the pie as either a head coach, that's somewhat understandable, mm-hmm. or an owner or a commissioner, you have an imbalance of power, which ultimately will be abused. And this is what it looks like when it's abused. And NBA fans will not stand for this much longer. They don't want to see this. They don't want guys. First of all, you know, it's one thing to align these mega powers. That's enough of a distaste. Well, you know, well, Magic wouldn't do that. Bird wouldn't do that. Okay, right. 80s. Now, we're way past the 80s. Michael Jackson, I'm no longer here, but yeah. I mean, you know, the music's different. The game's different. I get it, all right? But there's still got to be an element of order, all right? There's got to be a system in place. And right now, the NBA is without order.
Mm-hmm.
It's without order. And it's to their detriment, and
yeah.
It's bad.
Well, it's like Antonio Daniels told us yesterday, BT, once the Board of Governors puts all this together and, I don't know, documents it and ends up talking about it, the next CBA is going to change. There's too much power for these players. We've said it, and we've warned the guy, warned about it, but that's the reality. They do what they want. There is no hierarchy of power in the NBA like there should be.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys make too much money. They're not relatable. We talk about this all the time. They're generationally wealthy and have guaranteed contracts. So they can do whatever they want when they want to. And it's got to be frustrating from an organizational standpoint. From a fan standpoint, I think it's more entertaining than it is, turn-off-ish. It's not like you're not going to relish in James Harden should he go to the 76ers and drop 40 points a night and mm-hmm. help them get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like you're still gonna watch it.
Yep.
I don't know what the emotion is actually from a fan standpoint, to be perfectly honest with you. Unless you're a fan of one team.
Teak, I think I summed it up. I think I told you what the emotion for the fans in totality, obviously. There's young fans who love the drama. There's older mm-hmm. fans who love the drama. But I really believe this, that, representing the majority, more than 50%, even if it's slightly more, the majority of NBA fans are turned off by this. They really are. And here's the other thing, too. The other sports, right, when there's a lack of effort, it's not as visible. Like in the NFL, you have to play hard or you're getting hurt.
Yes.
Okay. True. In baseball, you're still going to throw 95. Yeah, you might, jog around the bases, loaf after a ball, but it's not on constant display. In the NBA, when you're not fully committed to playing hard, there's uncontested shots, there's breakaway dunks.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
It's why worse. It's why it's hard for me to watch regular season basketball, BT.
You've said that for a while.
Unless it's a team that I really care about. I love watching the Lakers just because it's LeBron and they got talent on the team and I like watching them for whatever reason, even though I'm not really a fan.
Mm.
But a lot of other teams, I just can't watch. It just gets boring, to be honest with you, because nobody does anything until late in the third quarter or the fourth quarter.
And let me tell you something that's, I believe, very misleading. And I remember when we first started the show, when we'd reference Twitter. Twitter only represents about 7% of the population.
It was. Now it's significantly more.
Yeah. I don't know what the number is now. If I had to guess, 30%. Who knows? I could be way off on that. Maybe more. Probably more.
Yeah.
But while NBA Twitter is awesome. I mean, NBA Twitter is hot. It's the videos, the mm-hmm. highlights, the lack of a better coolness, like the vibe. Yeah. NBA Twitter is pretty smooth, pretty sweet. But you know what? For the most part, NBA Twitter is not forking over $113 to go see a game.
That's a good point.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
So you could tell me, well, I mean, come on, look at social media. The NBA is flourishing. That's not going to the arena when we're finally allowed to go back to the arena. Because most of those younger people that take that position don't quite yet have the bank to support the product.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They just don't.
That's a good point.
NBA is in trouble. And I have never said that on this show. I love, this I've said, I love the NBA. The NBA is in trouble. And for the first time, I'm looking at the commissioner. Where is the leadership? Didn't say, I was getting all over the Nets general manager, all mm-hmm. right? Sean Marks. Not a peep from the commissioner. Nothing. Where's the presence? Where's the leadership? Adam Silver's got to be better, and he's got to be a lot better, and very soon. All right, let's get the update. Axe got that coming up. We'll hit inbounds, out of bounds after that. If you want to drop us a tweet on where you think Harden might go, if you disagree with what I just said, if you're with me, there's a lot to unpack with the NBA and the Texans before that as well on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Axe update, inbounds, out of bounds next. Here's Rich. All right, inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a moment. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Time to ask the pros, give you a chance to ask us whatever the heck you want. Just drop us a question brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And you drop us the tweet at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. That's at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. Stick around, listen later on. We'll answer the best one. So make us think, make us debate, whatever, but we'll handle it on air before we bounce right around 6 Eastern, and we'll give you some props as well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. First hour is flying by, great content, the Texans mess, the Rockets situation, also a mess, and we are just feverishly... You know, refreshing social media, all the must-follow accounts, looking for a Woj bomb, looking for a little something from Sham. Mark Stein's been active today. He's had some good contacts and some good intel, but nothing yet. It seems imminent, so we might have to abruptly break course, which is fine. I mean, you have a rundown, and if this goes down, we'll jump right into it, whether it's Brooklyn, whether it's Philly, whether it's a wild card, so we're on top of it. Don't worry. Same with the coaching news. But right now it's time in the NFL. Right now it's time for a little inbounds, out of bounds. You ready, Teak?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go. We start with my Jets. Now, as we know, the Jets hold the second overall pick of the draft, and they've got a major decision coming up. They've got to figure out what the heck they're going to do with the quarterback spot while looking for a new coach as well. Now, there's reports to say the team brought back, we know that they brought back Rob Saleh, the DC for the Niners. They had a second interview, a conversation earlier today. He left the building without a contract, which... just quite frankly, just pisses me off. I mean, this is the guy that I want to coach the team. But, you know, the Jets being the Jets, they let him kind of off the hook now. And I'm sure somebody else will come up with a more enticing plan or contract, and they probably won't get him. But anyway, considering the Jets needed quarterback and what they need to fix, whether it's with Darnold or a young kid and really in totality on offense, it would be a mistake. Not just Rob Saleh, but it will be a mistake to hire a defensive-minded coach.
This is out of bounds, BT, because it doesn't matter what the potential head coach's expertise is. It's about hiring a leader of men. And I think some of the mistakes that have happened over the last couple of years are people get enamored, or organizations or general managers or owners, they get enamored with hiring the hot offensive coordinator or whatever it may be. When in actuality, he's not a great leader of people.
Yep.
And as a result, your team falters. I think Robert Saleh has an unbelievable story. Mm-hmm. He's extraordinarily intelligent. He was a credit analyst before he took the jobs. And BT and I will talk about this a little bit later in the show. Like, his journey as a quality control specialist early on in his career, I think uniquely positioned him. Yep. Well, not even. It was
well,
before
we're
that.
Talking about before
with
that.
With Houston,
true.
I think it uniquely positioned him to coach in today's NFL, which is so I'm going to say out of bounds of that.
I'm definitely going to say out of bounds. You know, and the imagery, and I can't stand this. And there's not many coaches that are like this, but when you have a coach that has that stupid hat pinned down over his eyes on game day, and he's just looking at the sheet, and every once in a while he looks up, doesn't even look at the field, doesn't look at tendencies or schematics or doesn't look at any of that stuff, just married to his ridiculous little sheet of plays. I can't deviate from that. God forbid I actually look at the field and get a sense of what's happening in real time. No, I need a leader. And I believe every team right now, the other six teams, including mine, that have head coach openings right now, you need a leader of men. Now, pertaining to Rob Saleh, Richard Sherman, you can't give a better scouting report than Sherman gave him about a month and a half ago. What he said, he's a leader of men. He's phenomenal. Raved about his IQ, his instincts, his ability to relate to everybody. You need that. And you also need somebody who's going to be able to delegate and hire a good staff. Tiki always talks about that, but it's not so much specific offense, defense. It's specific to, you know, galvanizing a room, maximize. I know that these sound like cliches, but maximizing talent, inspiring, that really matters. It still matters, and that's what these teams should be looking for.
Are you in or are you out?
Yeah, you're right. It actually frustrates me, BT, that that's the focus that everybody talks about. You're defensive-minded. It's an offensive league. Shut up. Are you a good coach or not?
Exactly.
Period. That's what it comes down to.
Tell him to shut up.
Joe Judge did nothing. He coached nothing. He didn't coach offense or defense.
He was a special teams guy when he came.
Special teams coach, and he turns out to be a great leader.
Mm-hmm. We both like Joe a lot. So, for the third straight day, the Bears, they have made the inbounds, out-of-bounds menu. Three straight days. It's got to be a record. Now, first we discuss Mitchell Trubisky's future, then Allen Robinson's. Now we got to talk about D.C. coordinator Chuck Pagano. He announced his retirement, so we'll give him respect there and props on a healthy and happy retirement. The team announced today that they are retaining head coach Matt Nagy and GM Ryan Pace. Now, Nagy went 12-4 his first year, but back-to-back 8-8 seasons. So when you look at the win-loss record, it's actually fairly impressive.
Yeah.
Considering what a lot of other people do 3 years on the job, when it's a rebuild. But maybe there's there's some context here, which we have to address, which I'm sure we will. In or out, Nagy does deserve another year with the Bears.
I'm going to say inbounds of this. He's 28-20, if you do that math, quick math, over the last couple of years, BT. And he didn't pick Mitchell Trubisky. He didn't go to Ryan Pace say draft Mitch Trubisky. That's who I really want.
Do we know that he said don't take him?
He probably okayed.
I'm sure they asked. Hey, coach, what do you think of this guy's
skill set? Probably okayed it. You know what I mean? Yeah. But he was a coordinator in Kansas City. Like, what is he? He doesn't know he has any power.
Hopefully, they collaborated with him a bit.
Yeah.
Hey, coach, can you coach this guy up? Can you coach this kid up?
Well, to be honest with you, he probably thought in the system that he was going to install, which was originally designed to be very get the ball out of your hands quickly, a lot of crossing routes, like you saw in the Alex Smith offense in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Don't think about the Pat Mahomes offense in Kansas City. The one before that, it was actually very successful. Could Mitch do that? Of course he could, but Mitch couldn't throw a 5-yard out, so he's gotten a little bit better. But I think this is less on Matt Nagy and more on roster construction, so I'm going to say inbounds. I think he does deserve another year.
Okay, I got you. I would agree with Pace versus Nagy in terms of levels of culpability. Quite frankly, I would not retain either if that was my team. You know, and I hate to be so callous when you talk about it. I feel like I always have to preface it because I want to be that guy who just so easily says fire that person. You know, but when I'm asked a question, I'm going to give you an answer, and my answer is rooted in this. When I look at Matt Nagy, do I see somebody that is going to elevate, like when you're the Bears and you're coaching the Bears, that means eventually you got to go to Lambeau, whether it's late December to win a big game for the division or maybe earlier in the year, but you get the point. You got to play them late, either in Chicago or Green Bay, or, you know, going to the Superdome to match wits with Sean Payton in the NFC Championship game or Wild Card Weekend like we saw. The Niners will get their act together, or when Seattle's got 70,000 people back and they reload. Does Matt Nagy strike me as the kind of coach who's going to win those, I don't want to say battle of wits because I'm not trying to diss his intelligence, but those battles? My answer is no. My answer is no. Pace has just done a poor job doing his job, to be redundant. Nagy's done a better job. You are right. It's more on Ryan Pace. But he didn't really do anything with Trubisky, and he's supposed to be a guy who can elevate a quarterback at an offense, and too often the offense was terrible. So my answer is out of bounds. Sorry.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague. So with all eyes, while they're all on the electrifying play of Devontae Smith during the championship game, it was hard to ignore the dominance of quarterback Mac Jones, who finished with a playoff championship game record, 464 yards and 5 TDs. Now, that's amazing. Led the nation, 4,500 passing yards, was second with 41 touchdowns and threw just 4 picks, so great efficiency. Now, Todd McShay says that he moved Jones into his top 20 for April's draft, the high riser on the draft board, Teak. In or out, you're confident that Mac Jones will be a successful starting quarterback, in or out?
I'm going to say inbounds of this, BT. Now, he's not the athlete, and especially at the end of the season, he wasn't the athlete because he was dealing with a calf or high ankle sprain for a lot of the last three or four games of the NFL season. But what I think is going to – so I'm saying inbounds. What I think is going to make him a good thrower and a good quarterback is he is extraordinarily smart, BT. When you watched that championship game and saw what Ohio State was trying to do to him, he saw it every single time before the snap and executed expertly, except for the one fumble, which he turned his back on, and he looked really bad. But he didn't make another mistake after that. Mm-hmm. I could see the New England Patriots being enamored with a kid like this because he has a lot of the same skill sets that Tom Brady had.
Yeah,
you know, not really mobile, but he's going to put the ball where it's supposed to be, accurate as all get out. He led NCAA, I think, history in completion percentage this year. 77.5%.
That's outrageous.
Which is it's unreal. It's the greatest of all time. Yeah. So I'm going to say inbounds to this, but he's got to go to the right team. I mean, if he goes someplace where he's got to be like the guy, like the athlete and everything, and scramble, he's going to fail. But if he goes someplace like New England, I think he could be successful.
What you just said at the end, he's got to go to the right team. That's why my answer is out of bounds. If this question, now again, I'm playing the semantics game, but I answer the question the way it's worded.
Yeah.
And I look at these very literally. What is being asked of me? So am I confident? The question is, am I confident? I'm not confident. If I was asked, can Jones be successful? My answer would be inbounds. But when it's framed, am I confident? You know, attaching a level of confidence is different than saying that I think that there's a chance that so-and-so could have either a modicum of success or any success. So I don't have incredible confidence. No, every window is wide open, man. I mean, the mismatches that they have, just first in terms of the concepts, but then the athletes.
Yeah.
Guys are wide open all the time.
True, but if you go watch some of his throws, some of these on-the-move throws that he would throw in the back of the end zone, he's fitting them in tight windows. There was one that became a meme. He threw it, 6 yards out in front of Devontae Smith, like 12 yards down the field. It was perfectly timed. Mm-hmm. Threw a linebacker in a converging corner. I mean, he's got the vision. Like, some quarterbacks don't have that vision, you know what I mean?
They can't
see it before it's actually happening.
Yeah.
He has that vision, but he doesn't have a strong arm. That's the only issue.
And he has slow feet. So you don't have a good arm, and you have slow feet.
He has a good arm. He doesn't have a strong arm.
He doesn't have a water gun.
It's all timing.
Yeah.
Got to be timing.
Which is why he's got to be in the perfect system, which is why my level of confidence is How many systems are perfect? I don't know. I mean, I like to see the kid succeed. He's been great.
By the way, BT, I just heard this. You're going to hate it. Salah is on his way to Philadelphia.
You know, he's not going to want that mess of a job, is he?
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.